fine.
Okay, so we skipped meat cakes, which is okay.
Oh, right.
Skip meat cakes. Right. Done a few times. Skip meat cakes.
This is more exciting.
But this is, well, we'll see if you agree. But we're in fact,
are
you guys.
No,
we're doing about you guys. You guys. But we're going to talk about a part about you guys that we've never talked about before. How this? That we've never discussed.
Oh.
And I was like, huh? That's right. So we're going to fast forward. Yaakov and Yosef have already reunited. That whole, the drama is done. And now Yaakov and his family come to Mitzrayim. This is the real beginning of Galus Mitzrayim. It's the first time the Jewish people as a group, right? They come as 70 people or 67 people, come down to Mitzrayim, and they're going to get ready to start living there, right? For a while. It's not clear to us how long they're going to stay. But Hashem tells Yaakov, go, and you're going to stay, and it's okay, and I'll be with you, and I'll take you out. But they're knowing they're going there now for a while, right? So they head down, and the Torah says, Vayomer Yosef Elachav Vel Beis Aviv. So Yosef, the pasuk before, Yosef and his father hug and kiss, and they're reunited. Good. So now Yosef says, okay, now tachlis, time to get to work here. Okay, and he says to them as follows, Lev Agid LeParo, I'm going to go tell Paro, Vomrai Lav, and I'm going to tell him, Achai ubeisaviya shebe eretz kananam bo elai. My family now has right. I got to let Paro know that you guys are here. Right? I got to tell the boss that you guys are here. Vanashim ro'eit son. I'm going to tell him that you are shepherds. Kian she miknayu, because they actually were. Vitzonam uvkaram v'chol ha'shalehem eviyu. And they brought all of their livestock and their cattle and their sheep and their goats, and they brought all of them with them. V'ayaki kralachem paro. And then, so I'm going to tell Paro this, that you showed up, and that your shepherds, okay. Vayaki kralachem paro, and Paro's going to want to meet you. He's not just going to take my word for it. He's going to want to have a personal interview with you. V'amar ma'amaseichem. He's going to ask you, what's your, you know, what do you do? What's your business? Because the non-Jew have to have a free ride. Right? They're going to show up, you get to work. What are you going to do here in Mitzrayim? V'amar tem, and what are you going to say? Says Yosef, this is what you're going to tell him. My family, we are in the shepherd business. This is the business. We don't do shmatas. We don't do car leasing. We do shepherding. Gam anachnu, gam avoseinu. Us, our parents, our grandparents. Bavur teshvu be'eretz Goshen. Kiso avas mitzrayim kol roitzom. That part they're not supposed to say to Paro. This was because, but Yosef's right.
Explaining
why do I want you to tell him this? I mean, A, it's the truth. Mm-hmm. This is their job, right? But the reason you're going to tell him this is so that he's going to let you live in Goshen. Why? Because the Mitzrayim hate; they cannot stand shepherds. This is the conversation that Yosef says is going to take place.
There's nobody in Mitzrayim a shepherd. Why? Because, why?
Good. Okay, so here we go. So what is going on here? Why is Yosef so adamant? First of all, why is Yosef scripting this so carefully? Right? It's very carefully scripted. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to say this, and you're going to come in, and he's going to ask you, and this is what you're going to say. And I'll tell you why I want you to say it, because I wanted to set it up that you can go to Goshen. Why? Because everybody hates shepherds. Okay? Sounds like a plan, Yosef. Great plan. Yosef is smart, right? So there's something going on here, but what is all this about? So why do they hate shepherds? If they had shepherds, why do we want to tell them that we are shepherds? Wouldn't we want to say that we're something else if we're not?
I think he wants them to be rejected by the Egyptians. Like not why? Rejected so much that they're saying go back to Canaan, but rejected enough because they don't know he doesn't want them part of the Egyptian society.
Ah, okay. So maybe Yosef is interested in creating a separation, right? Maybe he, as he brings them in, he doesn't want them to be accepted.
He must, because he said, I want you to live in the region of Goshen. Like he says, I want you to live somewhere.
I should have brought a map.
Exclusive.
I should have brought a map.
He wants
but
them
where
to
is Goshen?
Live exclusively in like one area, which is insular, so they don't assimilate.
The first ghetto.
Oh. So it comes over, the word Goshen, Eretz Goshen, comes up a lot of times in this parasha. You find over and over, and they talk about Eretz Goshen, Eretz Goshen, Eretz Goshen. Actually, a lot of people, so we know about Eretz Goshen, right? There was something about this place called Goshen that was seemingly separate Right? It was like this special Jewish city or town, whatever it was, but there wasn't that many people at the beginning, right? Where they were all going to live.
What was in Goshen before, though?
Yeah, good question. Who were the people who got designated this land? Right? Who was living in Goshen before? Maybe it was empty. I don't know. Maybe it was an empty
city.
Somewhere
near the Nile, where it was fertile and the sheep could graze in the pasture.
Enough.
It's an empty city, though.
No, maybe Goshen was sort of like on the outer limits. Maybe Goshen was on the outer limits. It wasn't that populated. I don't know what Goshen was. Yeah, but clearly it was somewhat open and available for them, right? Clearly there weren't other people. I mean, Joseph could have resettled the population if he wanted to. He was the king. And we find...
He really thought this out. He had a whole...
Seems very planned. This is very scripted by Yosef, that's for sure, right? So the question is, like, what's he at? So one possibility is he wants to keep them separate, okay?
Because I'm also thinking, like, since he is so high up in the Egyptian hierarchy, he's been placed so high up, so you would think that Pharaoh would be like, oh, yeah, these are your people? Oh, my gosh, they have to live in the capital with us as our honored guests, all that stuff.
Okay, so one problem is that they really wanted to live in there. What else might Paro want them to do?
Well, work for him.
And why would he want them to work for him?
He loves Yosef. God is with Yosef. Yosef's son.
Yosef's a smart guy.
To have, right, his whole family.
He already has his court Jew.
Donald Trump.
He already has his court, right. He already has his court Jew.
Yeah.
Right, so now he wants more of these smart, sophisticated... savvy chevra to come work for me, right? And so maybe what Yosef is trying to do is actually to turn Paro off from them. So let's take a look. Let's see. Let's look at Rashi in source number 2. So Rashi in source number 2 writes like this: Bavur teshuv Eretz Goshen. Why do they want to be able to live in Eretz Goshen? V'hi tzricha lachem shehi Eretz Mir'eth. Yeah, they need Eretz Goshen, like Ron, like you said, because it's actually a place that had a lot of, right? It had a lot of. Grass and whatever. It was a good place to graze. And when you tell them, we don't really know how to do any other job. We're just simple people. We just, right? And so Goshen clearly it sounds like was a far away place.
You want to get us a map?
How far? I don't know what far from Pitom and Ramses, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly, but yeah, where it is exactly. But it was further away, somewhere near, it sounds like it was somewhere near the banks of the Nile. And far away enough, it was a good grade to get there. Why don't they just, according to Rashi though, why not just ask? Why don't you send my brothers to Goshen?
Oh, because you always wanted to be the boss. You always want your boss to think they came up with the idea. So Yosef was trying to like present it in a way that Paro reached that
conclusion,
right, on his own without owing a favor to Yosef for letting his family settle where Yosef wanted them.
Right.
It's almost like he wants him to also be afraid of the Egyptians, saying like that Egyptians hate shepherds.
Right,
like kind of keep your distance. Also, like
so he gets the brothers to hate the Egyptians. Yeah, maybe.
I think it also fits with Yosef's personality.
Yeah,
kind of like a political guy.
Very savvy.
What to say?
Yeah.
In what circumstance?
The whole dynasty is all.
Yosef's smart. He knows how to maneuver. Right. Yosef maneuvers a lot of times. Yosef also. When did we find Yosef maneuvering again? You found it.
Well,
you got it?
I can't understand what's happening.
Right.
I'm sure I will understand what's happening. There's Goshen.
I'm thinking it looks like it's just in Egypt.
Where are we talking about? Like the Ramses?
There's Pitom and Ramses.
So probably the Ramses
It looks like it's on a lake. It's like Goshen. Like it's literally a resort.
Goshen is the biggest. Goshen's the biggest name here.
Well, it could be they're just trying to point it out. I don't know.
It's a little far from Memphis.
It's on a Jewish website.
It says Memphis. Yeah. It says Memphis.
Memphis was in Egypt.
It says Memphis.
That's
Goshen, New York. Is that Goshen,
no,
Egypt?
No,
is it?
Probably based on it. I don't think we can tell from here.
There's other maps.
Exactly. Oh, this may just help. There's region of Ramses
and
region of Goshen.
Okay.
So it seems to me relatively far away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You see that?
But where was
regions?
Where was main Egypt? the main city?
I thought it was Pithom and Ramses.
Well, then it wasn't.
Right, I'm saying it was Pithom and Ramses.
That's usually how you do we talk about Pithom and Ramses.
So it was a suburb.
I don't pretend to really know like what were the metropolises, but I think Pithom and Ramses are like the main areas that like even the Jews built up as slaves. Right. So, you know, I don't know what the, like, it wasn't like Alexandria, I don't think yet. I don't know.
I guess in my head I envision it, like, sort of, like, way off, like with, like, water between them or something.
It's like, far away. It sounds like it's very separate. It definitely sounds like it's very separate. But by the way, go to the next line in Rashi. Could you tell us, it's trying to call Roi Etzon. Why do the Egyptians hate Roi Etzon? Lefisha Heim Lahem Lel Elohus. Right, because they worship sheep. That's part of the reason why.
They worship cows.
Me too. So the reason
that's why it didn't even occur to me because you said sheep, and I'm like, well, can't.
I will say that there was a previous year that we talked about. Just saying, Jenny. Because last time you quoted a previous year and told me how to get caught. Yeah. So I think one time we talked a long time ago about Korban Pesach, and that the Korban Pesach.
Yeah.
Was a shechting of the Egyptian god.
Right.
Right. And that's Shabbos HaGadol.
Is that what they wiped Shabbos on the doorpost?
Yes. So Shabbos HaGadol was. Why? Yeah. The reason Shabbos HaGadol is called Shabbos HaGadol, one of the reasons that's given is that they went ahead and they went up to the Egyptians and said, hey, can I, this is after 200 years later, they said, can I have that sheep, please? Why? What are you going to do with it? I'm actually going to kill it and bring it as a sacrifice to my god, and I'm going to take its blood and put it on my doorpost. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, Holy cow, totally in your face. But also, some Mishnayos.
Holy cow,
yeah, very good. Sorry. Holy. So, but they're trying to, but also emotionally for the people, philosophically and emotionally, like causing them to actually have to, because they themselves were involved in Avodah Zarah, right? Making them kill the Avodah Zarah was part of the process there. But the point being, if they worship sheep, so we are, I mean, I would have said if they worship sheep, then maybe you want to like take care of the sheep, but I guess not. Right. They let them run wild, maybe. They let them run wild.
They're just aware that shepherds are raising huge flocks for consumption.
For consumption, to shech them, to eat them, to drink their milk, use their wool, right? They probably, maybe they like. I mean, if you want to give an example, like what we do with animals that are like kodesh, so if you have like a bechor, let's say, right? So the idea of a bechor by a firstborn animal, right, which like supposed to go to the coming. So that has kedusha, and the kedusha's bechor means that the animal can't be touched, actually. It has to just kind of like live its life. You can't use it at all. You can't get any benefit from it. So if that's what we do, it wouldn't be surprising if that they would do the same thing, right? That a sheep that they worship, they wouldn't shear it and use it and make clothing out of it and milk and whatever, you know, out of it. So the bottom line is, the reason why this is going to work out is if you guys are shepherds and they hate shepherds, right? you're like the, you know, like heretics, you know, if you're shepherds. So it's a great way to create a separation. Right? It happens to be true anyways, but it's a great way to separate us. You'll go to Goshen and they'll, fine.
Can I just answer also, like, the question why didn't he ask Pharaoh directly? Because I feel like that's such an insult, such a slap in your face, like, okay, bring my family here, but like I don't want them to live here. I want them to live someplace else. Like, have you asked that?
Maybe that's the point. Very good. You're right. Meaning, he wants it to be more organic. He wants to manipulate it to make it organic. But right, he wants it to feel more organic. Right, that it's, oh yeah, like this makes sense. Like it probably's like no. You know, actually, you guys go over there. Okay, fine. And then power rejected you. Like you said, power feels better about it. Everyone feels better about it because rather than saying here we are, we want to be by ourselves.
It's kind of funny, though, because when Yosef starts out, he's not so smart in terms of, he's not so savvy.
When he's young. When he's 17.
He's not so savvy. He's going up to his brothers and being like, yeah, I dreamed about this and
I take some time.
So, I think,
it's all the things that I did when I was 17.
Yes, most teenagers.
I'm going to do it. No, but it's true. But even teenagers, by the way, who have leadership potential, right? When they're 17 or 18 and they're the color war captain and head of Sharia and whatever they are, like they still do,
they make bad judgment.
They fool themselves a little bit. They not always, but right. They can be, and then it takes time for them to learn humility and learn savvy. You know, learn how to use those kokos in the right way. So that's like really what you see with Yosef's progression. He starts to take the focus off of him, and the focus. It's a different conversation, right? But mm-hmm. And the focus more, you know, this is all about Hashem. Hashem decides. I don't decide. Hashem, it's not me. Right? That's a very different person than we saw when he was 17, after, you know, a bunch of years in jail and living as a slave. He starts to kind of like put himself in the background and bring God to the foreground. But yeah, so if it makes sense here. He's learned how to be a little smoother operator. Fine. Look at the Sforno. Sforno says, Alev Agida, that's, he says, I'm going to go tell Paro, right? Why Shemalachtechem he mir ehatzon. I'm going to tell him that you guys are shepherds. Mi biltisha eshael mimenu. Right, without him asking. He's not going to wait for Paro to ask. Ashiyitian lechem eretz goshen. Kedishiyamin kishetom wilosh shizos malachtechem. I'll throw it in the conversation. My brothers came, they brought their cattle, you know, because they're shepherds. Right, without Paro ever asking, I'm going to mention it to him. Right? I don't want him to think, that's what I'm saying. I want him to think that I'm asking that you should live in Goshen. I want it to seem natural. Right?
Reverse psychology.
I have a question that just occurred to me. But, like, it's in the middle of a famine. Why would they want, like, animals coming in and grazing and taking up any resource that they still have, like, during the famine?
They don't. That's true. The Midrash says that when Yaakov arrived, the famine ended. So the Midrash helps you on that one. Maybe that's probably what the Midrash is bothered by. But right, once Yaakov shows up, according to the Midrash, it ends, actually. That's part of the reason why Yaakov was nervous to be buried in Mitzrayim. Right? We talked about this before also, right? They don't want to be buried in Mitzrayim because they're going to worship him, etc. So because he was like seen as like a, you know, a magician a little bit. That's not a pshat answer, but that is one answer. Rabbeinu Bechaya points out very interestingly, it's a little bit of a side point, but not totally a side point, why it is that they say we're shepherds and our fathers are shepherds and our forefathers are shepherds. It's true, they're all shepherds, right? You have so many Jewish like family people who were shepherds from the very beginning. And so Rabbeinu Bechaya talks about why. So take a look at what he says. He says, "Umashe bacharu." It starts number four. Umashe bacharu hashvatim haumnus hazos. Why did they choose this job? Vehi umnus avoseim. This is their father, their grandfather, right? They were all shepherds. Why was that? Mipnei shnei dvarim. Two reasons why they chose to be shepherds. Ha'echad. The first reason, sheish barevach gadol. It's a good job. It's profitable. Why? Begiza ubachalav ubavlados. You can shear the sheep. Right? It's renewable. Goods. Yeah, you can shear them. You can get their milk. They have children. Right? There's a lot of. It's a good business. The umnus ain't a tzricha yagir, Rabbi. You don't have to work so hard. V'torach gadol and play oven. You don't have to work so hard. It kind of like grows on its own. It's like a good investment, and the investments just kind of keep on growing. Fine, but look about Shani, the second reason. The fisha shvatim hayyodim sheyiglu lemitzrayim vehem v'zaram. Wow, this is a little intense, right? They knew they were going to be getting sent to Galus. They had a promise. They had a promise from Hashem. But this is not. I mean, it is nevuah. It's nevuah from God. Yadoa tedak yiryah zaracha. They knew they were going to go. They didn't know Egypt. They knew they were going to go somewhere, right? Oh, we play shem mitzrayim hayyodim letzura satzon tafsulahem umnezu. Why? Kadesh sheyiyu zaram murgalimba. Right, they wanted to already be ready now to be used to this. That they should sit back. You worship what? Like you worship your smartphone? Right, you worship your bank account? You worship the thing that makes you money? That's bizarre. Right, so by creating a situation where this was their business, it made the avodah zarah of the Egyptians look bizarre to the children. Fascinating. Okay, v'chein timtza rova tzadikim v'anavim shahiro. And you find actually that so many tzadikim and nevim were actually shepherds. Timtza behevel, right? Hevel, right from the beginning. Kain and Hevel, the good guy Hevel, the bad guy Kain, right? And Hevel is a roetzon, right?
I'm not trying to like whatever, but what other occupations were there?
Not the most
common
for somebody a silversmith.
I think that because all the avos were shepherds, so we're like, of course everyone was a shepherd. There were other jobs.
Saying, but Kain and Hevel, I'm saying
planting spices.
It's like saying Adam was a shepherd.
Spices, they had fields, farmers. Farming was the biggest. Was the biggest.
Were they just sheep shepherds, or did they? Maybe I missed something.
Shepherds. Shepherds is sheep, no? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Yeah, otherwise
shepherd? We love showing shep. Herder? I don't know. I think so, right? I mean, they always had son of vakar. They had cows, too. But no, but I think most people probably were farmers. Presumably.
Yeah,
and farms. They probably had animals on their farms. Right, there's definitely a lot of farmers. There probably were blacksmiths. There probably were shoemakers. There probably were.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that, like,
oh, so by Cain and Hevel, obviously the beginning, but Cain wasn't Oved Adama, right? He worshipped the ground. He worked the ground, but that is how he worshipped the ground. But he, right? And you find in those stories, right, all the different people who, like, you know, this person created weaponry, this person created fine. So, like, yeah, it's true. But we find it not just with Hevel. It continues, right? We have many, many more people like that, right? V'chein b'Moshe, Moshe hayare, v'chein Shmuel Navi, v'chein Shaul, v'David, Kulam, they're all shepherds. Right? And why is that? Yaakov Avinu. Vatam behem. Today she is rachachu mina yishuv. They didn't want to have to hang around with people so much. Why? Like, take this out. Lefisha harve averos dimshachos besivas chevras b'nei adam. It's hard to be around a lot of people. Dealing with people is very difficult. I'm just telling what he says. You can disagree.
I'm telling what he says.
My job is to bring you interesting text which makes you go, huh? And then we can fight about it. Kegon. Rechilos, v'lashon hara, ushua sheker, you gotta speak not nice about each other, you gotta take oaths in vain, v'gilu harayos, you involve bad relationships, v'geza, v'chamas, you steal, v'choma sha'adam poresh mechevras havrios, hu nimla menavresh. Wow. They want to just hang out totally by themselves and not be around anybody. Wow. V'choma shu misrachek mina yishuv, hu misrachek mina avon, hu mina geza, v'chamas, v'shavresh. Wow. So usually that's Rebbeinu Mechaya. But usually you'd say another reason for being shepherds is not because they want to, like, get
rid of. Think and have time to learn. I want to be like a positive.
I know. Like, so the other reason, right, is because, and he actually says that a little bit. He says it, way in. Okay? Flip the page. Second to last line, the end of the line, Va'od. Shesham makom hispodidus. The nevuah. And also, you can be by yourself, to have a nevuah. Vein adam roeh sham davar, shiatrid machshavto mina machshava b'Hashem Yisbarach. And also, you could be in, you know, yeah. You be quiet. You can spend your time being a philosopher. These are people who were very much thinking and talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam and thinking about Hashem. And they were like unique types of personalities. But this is not for every person, right? But these were unique people in the history of the Jewish people. So they were shepherds because he had a time. You can make a parnasa. It'd be fine, but it wouldn't be so difficult. It was relatively, you know, decent. And also, they could, like, kind of a little bit put themselves to the side a little bit. By the way, until they would give up their being shepherds and come and lead the Jewish people. Shaul was a shepherd until he became the king. David was a shepherd until he wasn't a shepherd anymore, right? This is, like, through their preparation. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to by Yisrael, and he's a shepherd for who knows how many years. Another major Midrash says he's a king in Minyan, but you know, that he was a shepherd. Right, actually, the Midrash says that's how Hashem saw that he would be a good shepherd. Right, that he picks up, he's taking care of all the sheep. Right? He treats everyone, you know, kindly, etc. But it was a profession that allowed them to kind of, like, live the life that they wanted to live because of who the type of people they're supposed to be. Okay, interesting. That's just, like, a interesting sidebar why that was what they did. Fine, check out this one. This one I really like. Okay, Chedor Chizkuni. The Chizkuni, this is now, I found the Chizkuni by accident here. It says the Chizkuni in source number 5. It's Sonam uvkaram v'chol ashol hem eviyu. Tzrichim him lishbor tzonam ve'in lehem panay liyos anshi chayel. Right, so one of the things he wanted to tell them was, he tells Paro, look, these guys are not going to be warriors. Right? Why might Paro think that they could be warriors? Some of them at least. They destroyed full towns, right, of people. They were warriors, some of them, like Shimon Levi. It's a whole discussion. Later on, when they go to meet, mm-hmm. So he chooses specifically, I should have brought this also. Mm-hmm. He chooses specific brothers to meet. They don't all go meet with Paro. He chooses specific ones. And Rashi points out that he chose the ones who didn't look, the ones who didn't, you know, hang out in the weight room. They didn't hang out in the weight room. Because he didn't want Paro to say, you go stay with me. Right, you stay here. And he wanted to show them, the yeshiva guys are all pale, and like, you know, and they wanted, like, hey, you guys go hang out in Goshen, you know, go hang out in Goshen. I'm not interested in you guys. What?
Pale yeshiva guys
are shepherds, yeah, but not as strong and powerful as Shimon and Levi. So he kept them away. He didn't want them to think, you know, to keep them. But now check this out. V'amartam anshei mikneh, right? And he said, tell them that you are shepherds. Yosef haya doeg. Yosef was
worried.
Im yiyu sari mebeis paro, shiyoridu migaluso. That if they would start getting involved with what they're going to do, they're going to get rid of Yosef. It'd be a coup. Why? Sharei bishvil kinas kitonas pasim machru. What happened the last time his brothers saw him in a position of power? They got rid of him. They tried to kill him because of his fancy coat. Well, forget fancy coat. Now he's, you know, the big kahuna. Right? So if they saw him, is there any way that word does not come from Hebrew?
No.
Kahuna? Yeah. It must come from Hebrew, right?
Oh, sorry. It has to.
Sorry. Okay, sorry. It came from the word
Kohen.
It's got it. Yeah, kahuna? It's got it. It's gotta be. Okay, anyway, sorry. Now they see that he's the big kahuna. So was Yosef nervous about the chizkunim? I don't want him anywhere near the palace. Fascinating, right?
I thought the whole thing of them coming down and they did
tshuva
and they apologized and they
Did they really do tshuva? Did they really apologize? Did he really forgive them? Right? Well, it's not so simple.
And his whole story came out.
Right. Not so simple, right? Who he really was, all the story. Mm-hmm. We hold them so close. Yeah. Fascinating, right? We have parts of the story, and we've talked about this before, that they really did the tshuva, and he accepted them, and they made shalom. But the Chizkuni is saying, maybe yes, maybe no. And by the way, even if maybe they did, maybe he still didn't want them so close to his job. No one be my assistant, you know? I'm good. I've done well on my own. I'm not interested in having them so close. So this is not...
He is the one who brought them down to Mitzrayim, though.
He is the one who brought them down to Mitzrayim.
So if he was nervous about having them...
No, maybe he felt... Oh, this is his brother. You could hold both of those things at the same time, right? You could want to help your family and not want them to become your... You know, bring them into your office.
Keep them at a distance.
Right? You could want your family to come close and not necessarily, like, be, you know, working in your business with you, you know? That'd be a fair, you know... A fair concern, and maybe the Chizkuni saying that it's not like so, you know, dastardly. You just, you know, good idea. Let's keep family and business separate. You know, and why ki tovas mitzrayim perish rashi zivi she'ein elahus lahem yirasam hayam mazal tle ubigalo hayu ovdimosa, right? Because that was the mazal of the sheep. That's why they were so interested. Fine. So the Chizkuni takes us in a totally different direction, but I think it's less exciting, sort of, but it could equally be correct, right? It's an interesting possibility.
It could be like he was thinking, "Lifnei either lo titein machshol," and if he brought them too close, all their jealousy could develop again. So he was trying to not have a retake of the first.
Create experience. A healthy distance.
Right.
Yeah.
Unlike
no, but it could really be that way. He just, we're saying he was nervous they were going to go after him. It doesn't have to mean he was like, you know, because he's angry at them. He's just a realist.
It just might be hard to fully trust them after that, even right. If everyone's forgiven
yeah.
everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So there's a lot of conversation in Akronu about his inability. I think we spoke about this. Maybe last year or 2 years ago, about the question of whether they really did. Why we have this midrash, right? This gemara that says that Asar Harugei Malchus, right, the 10 martyrs that are killed in times of Romans, is because of the brothers, right? Okay. But like, what happened? They said they were sorry, and he said it's okay. Hashem did it. So we saw. I forgot who we quoted, but we saw from one of the Acharonim who said, no. Maybe it was Rosh Salanter. I forget who said that. We talked about forgiveness, right? And that forgiveness doesn't necessarily. You could say, right? You could say,
you could say, you don't have to forget.
Right? I could forgive. I could say it's okay, but that the actual kapara happens only if I actually feel it.
Right.
And so some of them explain that he just couldn't.
Right.
He just sorry. Like I'm trying. You kidnap me.
Then you think you feel it, but you. Don't
yeah, you threw me in a pit. You sold me to slavery. I was gone from my family for 20 years. Like, I don't know. Not so fast. They're like, it's all good. I'll just let it go. You know, like, you know, as much as we like to talk about that, and I like to talk about that. But, like, it was hard for him. It was hard for him. And so maybe, you know, he's got his own PTSD here. And, like, I'm not going to let them, you know, hang out in the palace with me. I'm not going to be palace. You're gonna steal stay in your yeah. It's like a toy for Hanukkah. Yeah. But you could, right? You'll hang out in your place, and I'll hang out in my place, and like shalom al Yisrael. Literally, that's sometimes a better way to have shalom. Fine, but let's get to the Hamikdavar. The Hamikdavar, the Netziv, and the Netziv was Rosh Hashiva in Volozh in 1850. So he says the following, right? He says, "Ki toavas Mitzrayim." Right, the reason why you're all this because the Mitzrayim don't like you. V'lo yirtze lo hoshivchem b'makom ikra yishev. They're not going to want to have you live in the main area where people live. That was the goal here. Kach ala b'das Yosef l'sabev hadavar l'agia l'tachlis hamuvukash l'sheves badad. This is what Yosef's idea was. He wanted to set it up so in the end of the day they would live on their own. Afagav shiye ba'ofin shiyu echav ubeis aviv lavuz machmas zeh be'enei par. Even though by doing so, you were going to make the Egyptians hate them. I don't care, says Yosef. They can hate us, and they can think that we're lowlifes and whatever. I don't care. Mikol makom, hakol kedai. It's all worth it. Kedei la'agia lazeh atachlis hanachutz neshmiras kedushas Yisrael. If I want to preserve who we are as a people, I'd rather have them laugh at me and think I'm ridiculous, and I can preserve my community. I can preserve who we are. And that's why Yosef says they came here. Meaning, he wants to check out. Did Paro care that they like showed up because they needed him? You see that they just came here. In which case he wouldn't be able to ask, right, to live in Goshen. He just said, look, they showed up. What am I going to do now? Like he's like, almost like Yosef comes to Paro and is like, look, Paro, like, I want to tell you, like, they found out who I was and now they all showed up. And now what am I going to do with them? Okay, you know what? Let's just send them to Goshen. Right? Oh, great idea, Paro. Let's send them to Goshen. They won't bother us. Right? That's what it sounds like, right? Hashem set it up. And then it's not true. People didn't hate them. But that's what he was trying to set up on purpose. And the verse says it this way also. In a state like Egypt, individuals completely... Oh, sorry. Next line. Next paragraph. They were instructed to answer Paro's question candidly, to tell him the truth, even though it would be unpleasant. For the Egyptians' loathing for the brothers' occupation and in general the nation's aversion to the Jews were to serve as primary factors in the survival of this race, which was destined to journey through the ages in isolation. As long as the moral morn had not dawned for the nations, the barriers they erected to isolate the Jews served to protect the Jews from being infected with the barbarism and demoralization of the people in whose midst they had to walk for hundreds of years. It's a kind of... What does that make you think when you read that line, that paragraph?
We're destined to live like this forever.
Yeah, what is he really saying? It's a pretty strong thing to say.
That if it wasn't for all of this separation, oppression, and whatever, we would have dissipated amongst the nations.
Some would call it anti-Semitism. Yeah. That the purpose of... say it, right? That's what he's saying. Yeah. The purpose of anti-Semitism is...
To help preserve us as a nation. That's what I'm saying,
yeah.
But you're saying it's just going to go on forever, that it will never go away because it's meant to be.
It's a wild thing to say. You don't like to say that when, like, Chalila, when terrible things happen, right? But, like, what Rav Hirsch is saying, it's kind of borne itself out in a certain sense. You'd think that being constantly attacked by the whole world would make you go away. But in fact, it's the opposite. It's because we are constantly attacked by the whole world that we, right? Are stronger, and we have to know who we are, and we stay stronger with who we are, and then we survive. It's kind of a backwards way of looking at anti-Semitism, but it's a fascinating thing to say, and to the extent that Yosef set it up that way, right? That they shouldn't like us. Not that he wanted them not to like us per se, but the Netziv says it would make them not like us, and okay, they're not going to like us because we want to be who we want to be. But that the reverse takes the next step. Like, yeah, but that, and that itself is the source of the preservation, which is mild. It's comforting historically in a larger picture. I don't know how comforting it is on a micro picture else, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's a pretty strong thing to say. And it goes further. If you take a look in source number 8, this is already the beginning of Shmos. So what happens? The Jewish people, so they were living in Goshen, right? So how do I know, before we say anything else, how do we know that they didn't live in Goshen forever? All by themselves. What element of the Pesach story would tell you that we did not live in Goshen alone forever?
What do you mean?
Because the final night, they're in Mitzrayim.
What happens that night?
Well, you want to put the blood on your door so all the Egyptian neighbors see. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to get the sheep from
And who else is going to see the blood on your door?
The Mitzrayim.
Who else?
No, Malach.
The Malach. Because what's the Malach doing?
Killing everybody.
Going
and around. What's he doing?
Going from house to house and killing the firstborn.
And what's the halai called? Pesach. Because he skips over the Jewish houses. Oh, I thought they were living in Goshen.
Mm-hmm. They outgrew the space.
They stopped living in Goshen by themselves. Right? It's gotta be. Wait, he skipped over Goshen?
Right.
No, they're clearly living at that point amongst the Egyptians, and they make their houses different, and, right, what happens?
That doesn't make sense, though. Because when, look at history, when have you ever had slaves living next door?
Take a look.
Not slaves.
Take a look at Sashem, right? Ubnei Yisrael paru v'yishritzu v'yirbu v'yasmu momod v'atimalei ha'aretz osam. The land became full of us. We became too big for Goshen.
No,
and what happens? We start to spread into the cities of Egypt. We started living in Egypt. It's the McDover, the Sefer Etz, source number 9. Imhaya kavanas Eretz Goshen, mehem mibay. What was the purpose of Eretz Goshen? So look what happens. Valashem mikre osam, balame de lo Eretz Goshen levaj haim yuchal yisrael muleya miyisrael levaj. They didn't just live in Goshen, fill up Goshen. Elafilu kol eretz Mitzrayim. Shai ikur yeshivas in Mitzrayim, mikom makom, meleha eretz as Yisrael. The whole land became full of Jews. Umashmaos osam imam, kimale eretz osam. It became full of them. Right? And that's what he says, if you skip a line, v'yahayinu dechsiv v'machas b'choros u'pasach Hashem ala Pesach. That's why it says that Hashem skipped over their houses. Harisha hayu harbe batei Yisrael b'kerev batei Mitzrayim. You're living in Manhattan. You're living in the middle. Right? They weren't living by themselves anymore. Right? And the Yishami says this also.
It kind of explains a little bit of the animus towards them. Like, have they just been like these little shepherds hanging out in Goshen, doing their own thing? That would be one thing.
But now,
there's so many of them.
Spreading around.
Even, I mean, not to say this, but even maybe the people who are in power,
right?
Hey, you know, they build everything.
Too many of them. Right. Too many Jews around. So it always happens to us, right? Too many of us. What are we doing here? Mm-hmm. There's so many Jews around everywhere, right? So, but the point being, it's almost, what did Yosef say? Hang on, Goshen, Chavra. Like, remember who you are. And the Nativ goes on to explain. He says it wasn't just Fatim Eliyot of Sam, was also that they became part of Egyptian society. So he says, they like, instead of being on their own, they became part. They didn't stay apart from, they became a part of. Right? And that, in a certain sense, if the anti-Semitism is the thing that preserves us, right? So then when we become part of society, what happens? It can destroy us. And that's always the balance that we're always trying to strike. And that's why when we go down, in source number 10, source number 11, Yehuda goes first in Vayigash. Why? Says Rashi, the Torah says, Lahoros lefanav, Goshen. Lahoros, what's Lahoros mean? Lahoros means to teach. So the Midrash says, he came to set up a base midrash before they got there. Right, so when they show up, they should know who they are. But this story of the brothers coming to Egypt is really the story of Galus, the Jew in Galus. Right? That first we're on the outside and we're annoyed that we're on the outside and we're being punished and we're getting attacked, etc. And then we find, and that's terrible, but we're able to be who we are. Then we get the freedom to become part of society, and then what happens? We start to lose ourselves, and then we kind of swing back, and we go back, and then we swing back, and we go, right? This is Jewish history. It's Jewish history in every country, right, in the world that we've ever been in, right? Where things are good, things are bad. When things are bad, we sort of, it's bad for us physically, but as a nation, we kind of hold up. And then when things are great economically and we're concluded, things start to deteriorate. And then we, right? And like, that's the balance that we fight to this very day. Right? How much are we a part of society? How much are we separate from society? And it started here. It started here. And Yosef, smart guy, saw it from day one. Right? Which is fascinating because Yosef himself, you might have argued that what could Yosef have said? I was successful.
He survived.
He did just great.
Mitzri society on his own.
So why didn't he advocate for everybody else to do that?
Well, maybe he knew how hard it was for him, and he was being very realistic about the inner strength
for the larger group.
Right.
Maybe he said, "I can do it. I don't know if everyone can do it." I just think it's a fascinating, storyline that really become. We say Masa Avot Siman Labanim, right? Mamish. This is exactly what happened there, right? And it goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. They're all integrate, and then what happens? They enslave us, and we become separate again, and then we become a nation. And then, right? It literally goes back and forth. And in this story, Yosef is saying, and again, it's not necessarily. This isn't the lesson. I don't think is we should live in a ghetto. I don't think that's the lesson, or we should ask them to be anti-Semitic to us. I don't think that's the point. But the point is, it's the thoughtfulness about it, right? Like, how do we live the life?
How do you find the right balance?
Great question.
Just like I read recently that, and there's so much like growing anti-Semitism now.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, there's like so many comparisons about America being our Egypt. Like, this is how it was, and the more we try to be like other nations, the more they hate us. And again, for that same reason, it's really like Hashem reminding us that we're separate, we're different, we're not supposed to be like everyone else, and we have a higher purpose. And I read like on some subconscious level that other nations know that we are the chosen people and we should be separate and we should be doing something to repair the world. Like, we have a responsibility to this world and we're not doing our share because we're trying to be like everyone else. So, like, that's part of why the anti-Semitism is growing, because it's like, hello, where are you guys? Like, you're supposed to be fixing our world, and you're not. So, I thought that was interesting, too, that the, growing hatred towards us.
It's a very hard thing, because we don't play, like, cause and effect. Like, we don't know. We don't know why Hashem does what he does. We have no idea. But it's fascinating to watch the circle of history just like come back over and over again. And I think it's more about the recognition of it, just like paying attention to it and watching it. And it becomes personal decisions for a person, right? And societally and culturally for ourselves, how much we're in and how much we're not in. I personally don't believe we should live, I'm not in a ghetto, live in part of the world, right? But we do have our own little ghetto in a sense that we have our own community, right? We have our own communities and we do live separate from the world. We look different than the world. We do, there are ways that we put up walls for ourselves, physical walls and metaphysical walls. And I think some of those walls are good. And, and I think, but I think also in learning how to find that balance. And some people can be Yosef and some people can't be Yosef. And I think also like looking at others who choose to live lives in different ways, they say, I don't want to be Yosef. I want to be, Yehuda in the, in Goshen. I just find it interesting. I don't think there's no one answer, I don't think. But it's just, I think a fascinating way to take a look at the, literally the Masa of Osim Lamanim. No.
I think it is very interesting. I found it upsetting to think that we would need anti-Semitism.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
That's an upsetting thought. The Torah should be, MS should be enough to sustain itself through the generations indefinitely forever. And to think that we need the anti-Semitism for it to endure is very, very
not necessarily
to
endure,
upsetting.
Maybe but look at it as a reminder every
that's
once
what
in a
he
while.
Said.
Like,
no.
Not constant, but
it's a reminder that we're not.
Not the same. The more we want to be just like them, they say, hey guys, it's like you try to be the cool kid,
Right.
It's like, buddy, just stick with the suspenders. Like, it's okay. Like, you're okay. You're fine. Like, you don't have to.
I don't know,
be yourself. Be yourself,
guys.
Right? We always say to our kids, right? Be yourself. So you don't have to be like anybody else. Just be you. And they don't like it for you. They don't like you. So same thing. The same thing for us, But it's interesting.